The scripture reading for today is Joshua 1. Joshua chapter 1. We are going to read the whole chapter. Pay special attention to verses 5 through 9. 5 through 9 will be the text this morning. The command to be strong and of a good courage. We're not going to reread those verses due to the length. We will read them throughout the sermon. So pay special attention to verses 5 through 9. Joshua 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the host, and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land, which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to half the tribe of Manasseh, spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren, armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord have given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession, and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan, toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us, we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. Thus far we read the word of God this morning. Again, the text is verses 5 through 9. Elders and deacons have a very difficult task. We, the people whom they are to lead, we face many obstacles in our earthly journey, a journey to heaven. We face many great enemies that seek to take us away from God. We are a people who struggle with sin. We often need to be called to repentance. We too are a people who face great trials. We need comfort. Office bearers have the task of leading us who face all these obstacles to enjoy rest. To enjoy rest now, but ultimately to enjoy rest forever in heaven. That's their task. We see that in this chapter, in Joshua 1. Joshua, he, the leader of God's people, he had the job of leading God's children to the promised land. Joshua had to lead a people who also struggled with sin, also faced many difficulties. He had to lead them to rest in the land of promise. That was his task. Well, our office bearers have a task too. Very similar, but even higher. Joshua's task was a picture of the tasks that our office bearers have today. Office bearers must lead us to the enjoyment of rest now, but ultimately to the enjoyment of rest in a land that's even greater than Canaan. The land of heavenly glory. And again, what a difficult task that is. They have to come to us who sometimes continue in sin, and they have to call us to repentance. They have to help us who so often have difficulties, infirmities, and bring us the gospel of comfort. It's hard work. And that's why God commands office bearers. That's why he commanded Joshua here. Be strong and of a good courage. He says, Joshua, be strong and of a good courage to lead my people. And today, God gives the same command to our office bearers. Be strong and of a good courage, leading my people to eternal glory. Let's understand that calling to be strong and courageous today. Let's look at this text under the theme, called to be strong and courageous. Called to be strong and courageous. First, the need. Second, the calling. And third, the Lord's provision. First, the need. Second, the calling. And third, the Lord's provision. First, the need. The need really to be strong and courageous. Israel and Joshua, they had a need to be strong and courageous. Joshua and Israel had received a promise, but many obstacles stood in the way of them receiving the fulfillment of that promise. Joshua and Israel had received a promise. They received the promise that they would gain the land of Canaan, the promised land. Canaan was the land of rest. It was a huge, prosperous land. Over and over again, it's described in Scripture as a land flowing with milk and honey. And it was a huge land, about 56,000 square miles, about the size of present-day Iowa. It stretched from the Mediterranean Sea to the River Euphrates. It was to stretch from north to south, from Lebanon all the way to the Red Sea. It was a massive land for this people, Israel. And gaining this fertile, huge land meant that they would have rest. Joshua 1 verse 13 says, "The Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land." Now, rest did not mean that these Israelites were going to come into the land of Canaan and just do nothing. No, rest is entering into the finished and completed work of God. Rest is enjoying what God has done for you and praising Him for it. That's why we call the Sabbath day the day of rest. You are enjoying the finished work of God and you're praising Him for what He's done for you. Now, Canaan was a land, the land of rest, because in this land, Israel would enjoy the peace that God had won for them. they would no longer be serving the Egyptians. Instead, they would live in a kingdom ruled by God, dwelling in freedom and peace, in a land that would supply them with all the resources, all the food that they needed. And not just that, not just rest from their enemies and having all these physical blessings, but in Canaan, they would also experience peace with God. They would enjoy a close covenant friendship with God in that land, enjoying his wonderful work that he had done for them, and praising him for it. They would do that at the temple. We know that. It would be a land of rest with God. Now, God promised this land of rest to Israel, his redeemed people. He had brought them forth from the land of Egypt just for this purpose, just to lead them to Canaan so that there they might rest and praise him for what he had done. God certainly was going to bring them to this land. He says in Joshua 1 verse 6, "This is the land that I swear unto your fathers to give them. I promised this land. I'm going to give it to you." And now Israel was on a journey. They were on a journey seeking to enjoy that rest in Canaan. Now God promised Israel this land, but obstacles stood in their way. Remember, we're looking at the need for Joshua, their leader, to be strong and courageous. And this is going to help us see that. God had promised Israel the land, but obstacles stood in the way of the people receiving the fulfillment of this promise. Great obstacles. Canaan was not just an empty land that Israel was just going to walk into and receive. No, enemies had to be removed if they were going to enjoy rest. Enemies, very powerful enemies. Deuteronomy 20, verses 16 through 18. That says this. Deuteronomy 20, verse 16 says, "But of the cities of these people, which the Lord thy God doth give thee for an inheritance, thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth, but thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely the Hittites and the Amorites, the Canaanites and the Perizzites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that they teach you not to do after all their abominations, which they have done against their God, which they have done unto their gods. So should ye sin against the Lord your God." These wicked enemies had to be destroyed if Israel was going to have rest in the land. But they were mighty. Remember what the 10 spies had said during the days of Moses. Those 10 spies had gone into the land of Canaan to scout it out, and they came back and said, "These Canaanite people are powerful. They're like giants. We're like grasshoppers compared to them. Their cities are fortified, and they're going to fight to the death. They're not going to give up." They were mighty, and remember that Israel was a band of untrained warriors. They did not have a battering ram ready to go knock down the walls. No, to earthly eyes, victory over these enemies looked impossible. Impossible. But on top of the fact that Israel faced these powerful enemies, that obstacle, Israel also faced another obstacle. They faced a battle against their own sinful flesh. Naturally, the Israelites did not even want to go into that land of rest. And that's made very evident during the days of Moses. We read over and over again of how they complained. Whenever anything would go wrong, they would say, "Moses, we wish we were back in Egypt. We wish we could go back there. We don't even want to go anymore to the promised land. We'd rather live in Egypt and serve even their gods." And during Joshua's days, they often fell into that same sin, complaining against God and wishing they were in Egypt. Mighty obstacles. Fighting against great enemies. Fighting against their own sinful flesh. But Joshua, he was the ordained leader of God, called to lead them past these obstacles into the enjoyment of rest in the promised land. That was his calling. Moses had died. Now it was Joshua's time to lead them. That was his task. Joshua 1 verses 1 and 2 say, "The Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, saying, Moses my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them." Joshua was to act as the representative of Christ, leading God's people into the land of rest. Now God was ultimately the one who was going to give them the land, who was going to bring them in. But God was calling Joshua to be the instrument or means by which he would bring those people into the land. Joshua was to be the means. Don't forget, as we move on, don't forget the difficulty of this task for Joshua. The enemies are great. Israel, they have sinful flesh. The people whom he is leading are sinners. And Joshua himself is a sinner too. He has a sinful nature also. It's a huge task. This must be applied to us this morning. The office bearers and the church today, we also have received a promise. But obstacles stand in our way too. Obstacles also stand in the way of our receiving the fulfillment of this promise. The Lord has promised us, his church today, spiritual rest. That land of Canaan, the land of promise, that was a type of heaven. The ultimate place of rest. We do not have the promise of a physical rest in a land flowing with milk and honey, as Israel did. No, the promise for us is that we will go to heaven one day through Jesus Christ. Revelation 21, verses 1 and 2 speaks of Canaan as a type of heaven. Revelation 21, verses 1 and 2, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Now listen closely. "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." John there, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, calls heaven the New Jerusalem, the New Canaan, the New Promised Land. Canaan was just a picture. God promises that in the heavenly Canaan, we will enjoy the fullness of rest. In heaven, there will be no more sin. There will be no more enemies to deal with. We will only experience perfect rest as we live in fellowship with God. That's what the promised land pictured. But in a certain sense, Canaan is also a picture of the spiritual rest that God promises his church will already experience now. It's a picture of the spiritual rest that we enjoy in part right now. Not the fullness, but in part. We are promised an abundance of spiritual blessings through Jesus Christ today. In receiving those blessings, we already enjoy rest now. Matthew 11, verse 28. There Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That is, I will give you rest right now in a certain sense. God promises that he will bring us to enjoy the blessings that Christ has earned on the cross right now in this life. We will not go, God says we will not go through all this life living in despair as those who know our sins. No, God says you will have rest now knowing that there's forgiveness in the blood of Jesus Christ. You'll know that. God promises us. He says, you're not going to go through this whole life just continuing on in sin, totally lost. No, he says, Christ will rule your hearts so that you're able to serve me and in that way enjoy rest in part right now. So in the way of faith and in the way of living out of faith, we will enjoy God's presence even now on this earth. That's what rest is for us right now, enjoying God's presence. Now, God's promise of this rest is sure, just as it was sure for Israel. God had delivered Israel from Egypt. He certainly was going to give them rest now so that they might praise him for what he had done. Well, that was a picture of the fact that God has delivered us in Jesus Christ. He certainly now is going to give us the experience of rest in Christ. Certainly now is going to lead us to the promised land of heaven, where we will enjoy rest forever in Jesus Christ. He sent his Son so we might surely have this rest. So just as Israel then was on a journey to experience this rest in the promised land, so too are we on a journey. On a journey to enjoy rest in part now, but also on a journey ultimately to enjoy the fullness of rest in heaven. That's the promise. God promises us the victory. But the battle is far from over for us, too. The battle is far from over for Israel. It's far from over for us. Christ has won. He has defeated sin and death. He has even brought us from sin into righteousness, from death into life. But we still face a battle. We still have an old man of sin within us, and there's still sin around us. There are still enemies here as we still dwell on this earth. We know there are enemies. And those enemies are mighty. The enemies that we face today are those who seek to take us away from our God, to destroy us. All the enemies we face, that is especially the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh, those enemies seek to destroy us. The enemies Israel faced were types of the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. Just as Israel faced nations like Jericho and Ai, we face the devil and the world. The devil and the world try to find those vulnerable places in us. They come to us. They find those areas in our lives in which we are especially vulnerable, in which we especially struggle, and they say to us, come live like us. Come join us. Come do this to fit in. You can turn in a little while, but just come with us for a while. The devil, he seeks to infiltrate the walls of the church with false doctrine, seeking to make us think that doctrine is not important. And do not forget that these enemies are only going to get more powerful. Antichrist will be here soon. Also, just as the Israelites were sinners who had to go to battle against their own sinful flesh that wanted Egypt, so too are we a people who face our own sinful flesh. We, the church today, we go through great difficulties, just as Israel did. We face trials. We face many different things. And we are tempted in our own sinful flesh to think, why continue on? Why continue going to church? Why continue to pray? Why not just live like the world? It can't get any worse for us. It looks like the world's having a better time than we are. Why not just go along with them? The devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh desire that we be lost in sin and not enjoy rest with God now and forever. That's where we come again to the task of our leaders. Joshua had a task. Our office bearers, they have a task today. They are called to lead us past these obstacles and into the enjoyment of rest. Rest with God now and forever. That's the calling. Elders are to be the means of God to lead us. The meaning of the term elder is overseer. He's to keep a watch over us. He's to protect us. And oh, do we need that protection? The elders are to protect us as we face that threefold enemy. When that young person, maybe, or anyone, is being tempted of the devil and is continuing on in sin for a time, the elders are called to go to them, to call them to repent, so they might again experience peace. The elders are to help anyone that faces that any particular battle in life, any difficulty, any struggle. They're to go to them and bring them the word of comfort. That's the task. Lead them to the enjoyment of rest. Lead them to trust in Almighty God. The elders have the task of protecting the truth. They're to guard the truth in a day and age in which people hate the truth. And remember that the elders, or remember what a hard task that is. It's very hard to go to that young person or anyone who may be struggling with a sin and point them to the path of repentance. It's very difficult in certain situations to go to someone and bring the word of comfort, especially when that one has gone through a terrible, terrible trial. It's very difficult to listen each and every Sunday, making sure that what is preached from the pulpit is the truth and protecting that truth. It's hard work. It takes endurance. And remember, the elders themselves have sinful flesh too. A monumental task. The deacons, they too are called to lead God's people in the fight against their enemies. Deacons are called to collect and distribute the alms. And when they bring someone who is in need, help physically, then they also are to bring the word. They're to bring God's word so that that person sees it is God who's providing. So that they're comforted in that way and led to depend upon God. That's the deacon's task. And the deacons here, they even work alongside the elders in many different things. In a church of this size, the deacons help the elders watch over the sheep. So, leading God's people to rest is a very difficult task for the deacons too. They have to have wisdom to approach that one who may be struggling financially. They have to have knowledge of God's word. Knowledge of God's word so they can bring that word plainly and clearly to those who are in need of seeing that God is the provider. It's hard work. And that's why we have the command in this text today: be strong and very courageous. To do the task of leading God's people past these obstacles and into the promised land, Joshua had to be strong and very courageous. God emphasizes that over and over again in this text. It's amazing how many times it's actually in here and throughout the book of Joshua. Verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. Verse 7, be thou strong and very courageous. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Do not be afraid, do not be dismayed. God was telling Joshua here, do not be afraid. Do not see those great enemies, the Jerichos, the Ais, and think, we can't do it. Do not be scared that the enemies will be too powerful, Joshua. Do not be afraid that the people are going to rebel against you. Don't be afraid. And do not be dismayed. That means do not lose hope. Do not lose hope. Do not see the powerful enemy and say as those 10 spies did in the past, the enemy's too strong. We're too weak. We'll never win. Do not say, yes, God has given to us promises, but our problems are bigger. My problems are bigger than God's promises. Do not say that, Joshua. Do the opposite of fearing. Be strong. Be strong, and that means to be firm in your mind. Be firm in your mind. Be confident that God will give you what He promised. One who is strong stands unshaken in his trust that God will give what He said He would give. One who is strong says, God's promises are enough for me. My problems are not bigger than God's promises. God says, Joshua, be strong as you stand before this people and seek to lead them to the promised land. Be firm in your trust that I will give you the victory. As you stand right before those great walls of Jericho, those huge, over 30 feet high walls, Joshua, do not be dismayed, but be strong, firmly trusting that I will give you the victory. Depend upon me, Joshua. Look to me in prayer each and every day. Be strong, but also, God adds, be very courageous. Verse 7, be very courageous. To be courageous means that one has inner strength and also that he actually obeys God in the midst of the difficulty. He has that inner strength and then he actually acts on it. One who's courageous is brave. He actually does the hard task. God said to Joshua, do the hard task that I've called you to do. Trusting in me, boldly perform this calling and lead my people to the promised land. Boldly lead them in battle against Jericho and against Ai. Boldly bring them the word when they need to hear that word. And it's not optional, Joshua. It's not optional. It's not as if, Joshua, you are of a certain personality, so you don't have to lead them in this situation against this enemy. No, be strong and be courageous. You have no choice. Do it as I have called you to do it. And in addition, really in connection to being strong and of a good courage, Joshua must obey the word. Obey the word. That's verse 7. Verse 7. It says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. So observe, Joshua, according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you to follow. That law that Joshua was to follow was really the first five books of the Bible. The five books of Moses. That was the only word of God that there was yet at that time. Joshua was to follow the word. He was to observe it. That means to follow it in every area. That's what one who is strong and courageous does. He follows God's calling, and in addition, he follows the word in every area, seeking to keep it. God's very clear how Joshua was not to treat the word as a leader. Let's look at that more in depth. God was very clear how Joshua was not to treat the word In verse 7, God says, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. Do not depart from it. When the mighty enemy arises, do not avoid that enemy, thinking, oh, it's okay if we let this one go. No, God's word said, destroy all the enemies. Deuteronomy 16. When the people are murmuring and complaining, when the people even may be speaking of certain idols and going back to Egypt, don't let that go. Do not depart from the word and do not allow the people to depart. Joshua, this is how you are to treat the word. Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. The book must not depart out of your mouth. That is, speak it. Speak the word. May it be in your mouth as you read it throughout the day. Read it to yourself. Read it to God's people so that it may be clear how you are to walk each day as my children. Joshua, be meditating upon that word. Verse 8. Meditating day and night, that is thinking about it, thinking over and over again how this word applies to my people. Think about it, Joshua, and observe it. Verse 8 ends with, or the middle of verse 8 is that phrase again, observe to do according to all that is written therein. Be careful, Joshua, yourself, to observe every part of my word. And be careful, Joshua, to make sure that the people, they too follow every part of my word. Read it. Meditate on it. Observe it. The office bearers today, they had the same calling that Joshua did. As representatives of Jesus Christ, they have the calling to be strong and of a good courage. And also, keep the word. Be strong, elders. Do not be afraid. It may be that the devil is working on a member, that he is continuing in sin. God says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to approach him. Any one of us may be in distress and need help. Elders, do not be afraid to approach them, to help them. It may be that you have to stand up for the truth, true doctrine. Do not be afraid to do so. Deacons, do not be dismayed. Difficult decisions and difficult visits, they have to be made. But do not fear, do not be dismayed in any of those times. Do not say, I cannot help, I don't have the strength to do it. No, be strong. Elders and deacons, remember the promises that God has given to us as people to give us rest, to give us heavenly glory, to give us as people even the experience of rest now. Remember those promises and firmly trust that they are true. When you receive that call for help, say to yourself, God will bring his people rest. When you have to stand up for the truth in a time of maybe difficulty, remember God's promise. I will lead, I will use you to lead my people to rest. Be strong. Trust. And be very courageous. Boldly do what God calls you to do. Boldly seek to lead God's people in their time of need. Go and help that man or woman who is facing the Jerichos. Go and help that one who thinks he cannot turn from a certain sin he is in. Bring him the word. Do so courageously. Go to that one who has faced a great trial. Bring them the word of comfort courageously. Do not think, oh, I'm not smooth enough with my words. No, be strong. Be courageous. God will use you. And obey God's word all along the way. That's what one who's strong and courageous does. He observes the word, as verse 7 says. Do not depart from it, elders and deacons. Do not think it's not so important what I live like. Do not think it's not so important that I call out this sin in this instance. No, do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. Treat the word as Joshua was to treat it. Read it to yourselves. May it be in your mouth. Each and every day, be reading it. Be reading it in family devotions. Get the perspective of your wives on a passage, your children on a passage, so that you might see clearly how God's people are to live. So you might see clearly how to lead God's people past the enemies, the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. May the word be in your mouth. And also meditate upon it. Be thinking about it at every opportunity you can. Be thinking about the passage you read earlier in the day or the passage that you heard preached the previous Sunday, and think about how that applies to the sheep, to God's sheep of whom you have oversight. Meditate, think about it, and observe all of it. It's a high calling. Be strong and very courageous. Follow the word. But be sure this morning, as God's word promises, be sure this morning that the Lord provides. The Lord provides this strength and courage. He provides the strength to follow the word. That's what the Lord did for Joshua. The Lord made Joshua strong and courageous so that he was equipped to lead the people. Look at verses 5 and 9. If you have your Bibles open, Joshua 1. Joshua 1, verses 5 and 9. First, verse 5 says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee." Then verse 9, the end of verse 9. "The Lord thy God is with thee, Joshua, whithersoever thou goest." And that God was with Joshua meant that he was going to equip him to do the task of leading God's people. He was going to equip him, making him strong and courageous, making him able to follow the word. God would equip Joshua to do the work of leading the people into rest in every situation as they faced Jericho and Ai, as he faced a people that sometimes did not want to follow God's ways. God was going to make him strong and courageous. And what an assurance. What an assurance that God would be with him wherever he went. That was an assurance for Joshua, an assurance for the people. God certainly will equip our leaders to bring us to the promised land. And the Lord does the same thing today. He's given you a calling, given you a task, and he equips you for that task. God says to us this morning in verse 5, he says to you office bearers, "As I was with Moses, as I was with Joshua, so I will be with thee. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. I will be with you whithersoever you go." He's with office bearers in Jesus Christ. God is with us in Christ. Christ has called you to lead his church. You are the means he is pleased to use. And the sovereign Lord is going with you, giving you that strength to lead his people to rest. In every difficult situation you face as an office bearer, God is working within you that strength and that courage. In every situation, he's working within you the strength to call his people to follow the word. He's giving you what you need. And again, what an assurance that is for us office bearers and for all of us as God's people here in this church. God will use office bearers to lead us to rest now and rest forever. The text says that the Lord's provision in making our leaders strong and courageous, that will end in good success. End in great success, the text says. Verse 8. Observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, Joshua, thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. In the way of right leadership, we will be prosperous. God says, I'm going to equip the leaders, going to equip them to lead rightly. Thus there will be success. Success for Joshua and Israel meant that they were going to defeat the enemies. They were going to gain the land. And God indeed worked in Joshua to be strong and courageous. And the people indeed did gain the land. They defeated Jericho. He equipped Joshua to lead the people, to follow his word, to trust in him. And God used Joshua then to bring them to that wonderful land, that huge, prosperous, blessed country. And office bearers today, they are also blessed with success in the way of being strong and courageous. Success for us means that we, God's children, go to heavenly glory, and that we experience rest in part right now. God will work in our office bearers to lead us there. That we will have success does not mean that every person with whom the elders and deacons work is going to trust in God and is going to be led to repentance and peace in that way. The text doesn't mean that. No, not every person is a child of God. They're not all going to find that rest. But success in the text means that God will use his equipped elders and deacons to lead God's children who are struggling, who are facing difficulties. God's going to use the equipped office bearers to lead them to enjoy rest now. And he's going to use the equipped office bearers to bring us who are hurting and struggling to the land where there will be no more hurt and struggle. To the land of heavenly glory, the new heavens and new earth, where there will be perfect peace forever and ever. So office bearers, in the year to come, be strong and courageous. And congregation, pray that Christ would equip them to be strong and courageous. Pray that every week. May we be led to rest now and rest forever. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father which art in heaven, O Lord, thou art our God. Thou art our God for Jesus' sake. Thou art a God who has promised to us rest. We ask that thou wilt equip our office bearers through Christ to be those who are able to lead us to that blessed rest. Use them, O God. Make them strong and courageous. In Jesus' name, amen.